Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Praise God. Let's do that again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here.
Yes.
We should all be glad to be here. David even said it was good to be in the house of God. He said, I was glad, very glad, when they said to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. As we've had a great time of worship and praise this morning, I pray that you've had a great time as well. It's good to be in the presence of God. You know, there's so many places we could choose to be, but we choose, it's a choice to be in the house of the Lord. And I thank God for that. We've come from different walks of life. We've come from different places, but God is still the same. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's just give God a time of praise. Let's worship Him. Let's clap our hands. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. Lift up your voices. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord if you have your Bibles with you, whether they're electronic or paper, as long as you have your Bibles with you, amen. Praise God. Let's turn to the scripture in 2 Kings chapter 6. Very familiar portion. We've heard this preached many times. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. Say amen when you have it. Amen, that's a good indication. Beginning at verse 14. Therefore sent he to the horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. This is the king of Assyria, and he got a little bit tired of Elisha telling all of his secrets to the king of Israel. And so the king of Assyria found out that it was Elisha the prophet. And so he's come and surrounded Elisha. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Amen. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'd like to speak a few moments on this thought this morning. Defender. Defender. The Lord is our defender. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would be with us here this morning. Help us, Lord, as we go into your word to hear from you. We know that you speak to us individually. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, as you sit down, say hello to somebody next to you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When we hear this word, defender, what comes to your mind? You know, when I was looking for a picture of somebody defending, this is what came to my mind. Somebody with a shield in defense. And this morning, We would have probably many thoughts of what would go through our lives in terms of when we want to be defended. You know, there's many circumstances that could come against us. People say things, we hear it, defensive. Yes? All right. Sometimes, even in sports, all right, there's defending positions. And I'm covering a few things here. But what about in battle? Okay. Let me just give you a bit of a dictionary definition. Defense, okay, is the action of defending from or resisting attack. That's the most obvious. The second one is a case presented by or on behalf of a party accused of a crime. Defending. But defending or resisting an attack is not something we would like to become accustomed to. I don't like being attacked, whether verbally or physically. I just don't like it. None of us would, okay? None of us should enjoy being attacked. What happens? We become defensive. It's natural. It's a natural thing. It's a God-given thing that we become defensive. It's a protective thing, all right? But we must always be prepared. Always. We can never be prepared enough. And I'm going to come back to our text and our scriptures soon enough. In medieval times, we know about castles, don't we? Who's heard of a castle? I have. We've seen plenty of them. There's plenty of pictures around, many movies made with them. You just look around, there's castles. Even today, castles still exist. You know, castles were built with many things in mind. They were built strong. I wouldn't want to be in a castle that just fell apart when I walked through the doors, okay? I want to be able to walk into a strong building. They were built on high ground for clear view and making it hard to attack. You don't seldom see a castle built down in a ditch so people can just run off the edge of a hill and straight over the wall in. No, they built it on high ground. It was always built higher than sea level. The reason being is that when the enemies had to come in, they had to go to another level to get into the castle. They were sometimes surrounded by moats or bodies of water. You know, we've seen plenty of castles that had rivers of water surrounding the entire castle. And the only way in or out of that castle was over a bridge. And so it made it very difficult for anybody to attack. Ramparts were added. In other words, steep banks or rubble attackers had to climb over. You know, when Jericho was built, there were two walls. There was an inner wall and then there was an outer wall. Okay? And both were fairly evenly spaced apart. But to the attacker, if you were to look, and I did plenty of study on this, if you were to look at the walls as you were coming in, because Jericho was built on a hill, okay, the first wall or the inner wall looked predominantly higher. Okay, and then the outer wall, which was a lot further forward, okay, came down level with the bottom of the inner wall. And so when you looked at the wall from a distance, it looked like one massive big wall. The illusion. And that the wall looked like it was actually just one big wall. But when you got closer, then you saw the separation. And so when the walls came down, the inner wall collapsed, crushing the first wall, and then they just went straight over at the top. So God brought the walls of Jericho down. Amen. And so high walls, in this case of a castle, is important. Curtain walls were those walls that surrounded the buildings, inner walls. And then you have flanking towers were added as a part of a curtain wall where archers or those people could shoot things from. They would pour boiling oil over their enemies. They would do all sorts of things from these positions. And then you have battlement. And I'm just covering some stuff here, folks, on top of a wall. And these battlements were just like little square shapes you see on top of the wall, little gaps in between them. And that's where they shoot their arrows, do whatever they wanted from those little gaps. And there were many, many other things. This was quite the study when I was looking at castles. They had many, many things in there. But you know what? Castles weren't immune to being beaten. Enemies have ways of overcoming castles. They just did. And so there was always a competitive edge one way or the other. But I want to encourage you this morning. There is a castle that has stood the test of time. It has withstood every attack. It has withstood the enemy's onslaught. The Bible says that the enemy will come in like a flood. But I'm telling you here this morning that my God has raised up a standard. His banner still sits on top of the castle. His power is still supreme. There's nothing that my God cannot do. Don't ever think that my God is not for you. He is. He's for you. We read so many scriptures in the Bible that I will run into the tower of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my shelter. He has become my shield. Amen. He is my defender. Praise God. We need to be prepared. We need to be vigilant. We need to be on our guard. But most of all, we just need to trust in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant, be vigilant, be vigilant. That's all I can say is be on your guard. Be ready, be vigilant, amen. Our enemy is very real. I honestly, and I've heard it preached many times, I do not believe that the devil is a lion without teeth. I just don't. I've seen enough people taken out. But I've seen enough people make it through. Amen. Because greater is he that is in you, than he that is in the world. Amen. I was meant to say he that's in me and then he that's in you. Got it mixed up here. He that's in me and you.
That's right.
Praise God. It's greater. We can't afford to let that guard down. You know, you're a prized possession in the hand of God. You're worth something to Jesus. In fact, you are worth so much that he went to Calvary for you. You are precious in the eyes of God. Of the Lord. You are worth it. I don't know who is here this morning, but don't consider yourself not worth it. You let God be the judge of that. You are worth it. You have value. You are precious. Amen. You are worth defending because he is our defender. When we have placed ourselves, just like that castle, when we have placed ourselves on higher ground, when we have built our walls with the Word of God, when we've got towers where we can run to for defense, God will defend us.
Amen.
God will defend us. Psalm 89:18 says, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Psalm 94:22, but the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge. Oh, hallelujah. There will be times in this world when you will have circumstances, when you will have difficult moments, when you will have trials, where you will have unprecedented things come into your life, where you begin to question your faith, you begin to question your walk with God. I want you to understand something. A crisis shouldn't catapult you out of the will of God. A crisis should launch you into the presence of God. A crisis should drive you back to Jesus. A crisis should bring you to your knees before the Lord. Because my God, He's great. My God is able. My God is a defender of the weak. He's a defender of those that need Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. And so Elisha, through the word of the Lord, had been troubling the king of Assyria. And so when the king of Assyria found out who it was and where he decided Elisha was or where Elisha was, he said, I'm going to end Elisha. I'm going to finish Elisha. And so he surrounds the city of Dothan. And so Elisha's servant rose early. He saw the Assyrian army and you know what he was thinking? I'm freaking out. I'm really freaking out here. Because you know what? The indication, that's what alas is. Alas! Just a nice way of saying, I'm freaking out here. But Elisha, being Elisha, was cool as a cucumber. He really was. You know, in my own words, when Elisha came out of the tent, hearing his servant jumping and running around, freaking out, he goes, yeah, so what? And Elisha's probably looking at him, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. Can't you see the army that's surrounding us? Can't you see it? And Elisha said, yeah, but they that be for us are greater than they that are with them. And Elisha's servant, you know, Elisha, he looks at Elisha here and he's like, Elisha, me equals two. Two. And he's thinking, and I'm looking at the Assyrian army around me, and you're telling me there's more here than there is out there? And Elisha, I can imagine, was like, he's been with me this long. But I would say, he's going to say to the servant, he said, look, open his eyes, Lord. Open his eyes. And you know what? The servant opened his eyes by the Lord, and he's looking around, and it dawned on him. When he saw the chariots, he saw the host in the mountains. He saw the awesomeness of the power of God. Amen. He saw the angels that were there. And I'm telling you this morning that God will send an army to defend you. God will send an army to go before you. He will bring an army to bear in order to save the one, to save the two, to save the few. God will bring an army, praise God, to be your defense, to be your defender, amen. This is the God that we serve this morning. God is my defender. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Do not let the thought come into your mind, but I'm only one person, God. What can I do? What would you do just for one, Lord? God would move heaven and earth for you. Praise God. Yes. He is your defender. Praise the Lord. Hebrews. Sorry, let's turn to John. Let's look in the book of John, Gospel according to John, amen, chapter 8. This is a beautiful scripture. John chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse 3. Amen. Praise God, I've got three bottles of water under the pulpit here and I don't know which one's mine. They've all been cracked open. Well, praise the Lord, I'll leave it there. Praise God, John chapter 8 and verse 3 to 11. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, that is to Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those your accusers? Hath no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Praise God. I'm just going to have a drink. Thank you, brother. And now I'm going to put the bottle of water over here. Praise the Lord. We can often be caught out with a slip up. We've all slipped up. We all have. Amen. There's not one of us here this morning that can say, I've been 100% innocent. I've lived my life absolutely purely, 100% of the time. There's nothing wrong with me. Wow. I can't, absolutely cannot do that. Because I know every day I've got to go and seek the Lord for something. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. I mortify the deeds of this flesh. He even said, I have to seek God every day. And you know what? This woman, she slipped up. If you want to really put it down to that, she slipped up. And yeah, we sometimes categorize sins one worse than the other. But in the eyes of God, sin is sin. And she slipped up. She fell short of the glory of God, but who hasn't? Who hasn't? I'm trying to build a defense here, okay? We've all fallen short. We've all slipped up. This woman did as well. How the devil enjoys parading your shortcomings. You know, he loves to share it around, shout from the mountaintop all the failures that you've ever committed, all the shortfalls that have happened in your life. He enjoys parading those things around. And you know, he then turns around and says, you're not good enough to ask for forgiveness. You're not good enough to be in the presence of God. Don't you even think about going into God's presence again. Look at you, you sinner. You are just not worth it. But Jesus doesn't see that way. He never has. I can hear the devil even saying this. Hey, Jesus, I caught this guy, this girl, this person in the very act. We begin to feel condemnation. We begin to feel guilt. We begin to go through the range of emotions that says I'm not good enough. Look at me, look what I've done. Don't put yourself down. Don't let somebody else, an enemy of your soul, classify you into something that you are not. Because you are a child of God. You are called of God. You are a mighty man. You are a mighty woman. You are a mighty child of God. Praise the Lord. You are worth more to God than anything, any failure, any sin could ever be. So don't ever think you're never good enough. Let God be the judge of that. You know, I could see Jesus pointing the finger at the devil after all he's spouting, after all he's rubbish, and go, oh, and you're any better? When those Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other E's that stood around condemning this woman, saying she was caught in the very act, little did they know that Jesus had caught them in the very act. The tables had turned.
That's right.
Jesus caught them in the act.
Amen.
And Jesus was saying to them, oh, and you're any better? If you think you're better than her, why don't you cast a stone first? Come on, if you think you're just better than this woman here, why don't you cast a stone? And you know what? The Bible says from the eldest until the last, every single one of them left until it was just the woman and Jesus alone. This is my defender. He is the defender of the weak. He is the defender of the sinner. Yes, sinners are defended like this woman. But you know what? He turns around and says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And yes, Jesus will bring to bear his defenses on your behalf. Even when the crowd speak out against you, Jesus will speak for you. When you're in a group with Jesus, you're not in the minority. Oh, hear me out. When you're in a group with Jesus, you're not in the minority. Just open up your eyes and look around you. You've got the host of heaven that is for you. You've got everything in heaven for you. You've got God for you. And praise the Lord, if you look around here this morning, you've got the saints of God that are for you. Your brothers and sisters are for you. Praise the Lord. We have Jesus, our defender, here this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I love this scripture. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I just love this. Mark it in your Bibles. Underline it on your apps. Praise God, it's a good scripture. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. You are not to live in condemnation anymore. Why? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God, the laws of this world, God has set us free from. We are free, saints of God. We are free, praise the Lord. Jesus is my defender. Jesus is my defender. Is he your defender this morning? Come on, is he your defender this morning? Praise God. I know many of us have been through many things in the last few years, but God is still our defender. God is still faithful. God is still true. His mercies are new every morning. His compassion fail not. Hallelujah. He will hide you in the shadow of his wings. He will bear you upon eagle's wings. He will lift you up when you are down. He will strengthen you when you are weak. He will give you a richness in your spirit when you are feeling poor. This is my God. This is my defender. Praise God. Praise God. The musicians would come. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, as I finish on this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 35 will begin. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, I love this. Nay, everyone say nay.
Nay.
Nay. In all, everyone say in all. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, hallelujah. Paul wasn't content just to stop there. He continued on a bit further. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am persuaded. Why? Because he is my defender. He is my defender. He will fight your battles for you. He will send out an army to defend you. Oh, hallelujah. God won't abandon you or forsake you or leave you. But he will stand before you. And just like that picture, he will stand before you with the shield. And you're there and he's going to wear it all for you. He's going to take on the shield and become your defense. Praise God. I was so moved by that skit that the youth did on that night. You know, I didn't know my son could act so well, praise God. But I just have it burned in my mind that Jesus was there stopping the enemy, stopping the devils, all those bad things coming into that person's life. He was there. He was being a defender to those who needed him. And in that one moment, he broke the shackles upon that person. And this morning, I know there are people here that have tried. God knows they've tried. But I want you to keep trying. I want you to keep hanging on. I want you to keep on keeping for Jesus. Because God is our defender. Amen. Psalm 59:16. Psalm 59:16. And this is my last scripture. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of the mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, amen. Oh, let's all stand here this morning.